You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I'm your host, Alicia Thomas, and today is a very cool day because it's my first time having a male on my show. Even if this is like airs number 15 episode or something, this is the first time I'm interviewing a male, and in particular, a dad. And so I'm so excited to have him on today. He is an actor, a comedian, a stand-up comedian, a producer, a writer, and so much more. He was on the national tour of Rent. He's done commercials for McDonald's, Staples, Verizon, to name a few. He was last seen in The Last OG, in the last season of The Last OG, with Tracy Morgan and Tiffany Haddish. He's done a couple of movies, and my favorite, he's Mr. Duval in Mean Girls on Broadway. Please welcome Rick Younger.
You have me like looking around like, who is this amazing fella?
You.
And I mean, of course you close it with your favorite, Broadway.
I know. I'm like, here's all the stuff he's done, but really? He's in Mean Girls on Broadway.
Salisha loves Broadway and musicals in particular. Do not offer to give her tickets to a play. She's like, when are they gonna start singing?
Shut up. You don't know my life. You don't know my life.
This is a moment.
Ricky, you want to tell the folks how we met? At least I want to hear your version of how we met.
Well, yeah. We first met in the back of a Volkswagen van. No, that's actually so
false. That is so false.
One of my favorite stories in the middle of a song comes from Sylvester and You Are My Friend. But no, our story, we met on the train.
We met on the train.
The A train. When you're on Broadway, most of the shows start at the same time. They let out close to the same time. So, like, if you're on the A train, and I'm sure it's been a very interesting history of the A train going uptown after Broadway shows over the years, to think of all the people who we know who have probably been on the A train. So you kind of recognize the show people. It's an energy about the show people, even if you're like Salisha, who after the show tries to hide out behind a book or whatever. It's still like she's reading the book, doesn't want to be bothered, but it's an energy coming from it. I'm reading a book.
Shut up.
It's like, that's the energy that's coming from it. So like, you know, so you kind of notice the people that's like, I said, that girl is in the show. And then I noticed she kept getting off on my stop. And so I was like, I'm just going to say something. Hey, how you doing? You in the show?
Thing you knew, we were having margaritas.
It's like, well, I remember early on, one of the first, like, once it was a Saturday. See, first of all, let me tell you, I have a very, very, like, very good memory. I remember specifics. Like, it was a Saturday.
I'm like, I have no idea what you're about to say
it
right
was
now.
A Saturday, and we, so what would happen was periodically, so for the longest time, it was kind of like, first it was like the nod, you know, hey, like the acknowledgement that we kind of said, you're on a show, I'm in a show, How are you?
Oh, I thought it was the black nod.
Well, it was the black with a heavy dose of blackness in it. Like, I don't know.
It was a, you're in a show nod?
I don't know how white folks do it. All I know, because I've been black for a long time. That's all I've ever known. And so, you know, so first it was the nod of acknowledgement of, hey, sis, and you in the show, me too, Black Broadway, hashtag Broadway Black.
Right.
And so it was that. Then it was like the realizing that we're going in the same direction. So then eventually we would like be on the elevator together, and it would be like the look over, and we eventually started talking, and you know, we would actually take off our headphones, which is a major step.
That's huge.
To like to kind of say, hey, all right, leave me alone. But we both.
And he didn't just have earbuds, y'all. He has like these huge Bose, and I feel like the Bose are indicative of like, really don't bother me. I really can't hear you. Like, look at these big things on my ears. Leave me alone.
I mean, but look at that smile. I mean, with a smile like that, are you gonna keep your headphones on? No, not if you got sense. So,
oh my gosh.
One particular Saturday, we're on the elevator, and she's holding a bottle of wine, and you know, she just was like, "Hey, you drink wine?" I was like, "Yeah, I drink wine." Said, "You want this bottle of wine?" It's like, it's already open, but I'm trying not to drink this week.
You over here telling on me.
No, it sounds like, boy, she's asking me to save her from herself. But no, it was just one of her, this week I'm not drinking, and I already opened this bottle at the dressing room. Please, if you drink wine, take. I'm like, sure, who's gonna pass up free wine? So,
right.
You know, just over time, we just more and more conversation. Come to find out, she went to college with one of my castmates and stuff like that. So, you know,
all the things. And literally all of the things, yeah. And we've been friends ever since.
And she's my neighbor, and it's like, so especially during the pandemic, when Celicia was afraid to go outside, me and my kids would walk past her window. And so Celicia and my daughter in particular, because my daughter is she's a bundle of energy like Celicia is. And so it's like, she's like, "Miss Celicia, where are you?"
Like throwing rocks at my window, being like, "Hello."
And so I would like to think that Lolo provided her with a lot of joy when she was locked up in her ivory tower, afraid of
truly, truly. It really does make a difference. Like when at the beginning of this pandemic, it was like no human interaction at all. It felt like, okay, we're in a freaking dorm room. I can at least open up my window and be like, hello out there. And so Ricky, one of the reasons why I brought you on here is because you are a dad, and I have not had that perspective yet from anybody who's come on here yet. And so, why don't you tell us about your offspring?
My offspring. So I have an 11-year-old son, Rory, and a 3-year-old daughter, Lolo. Lolo is short for Lowry Love Younger. So we took the first two letters from her first and middle name to have Lolo. Rory is Rory Clifton Younger. It's a combination of my father, brother, and grandfather are all Roy Clifton Younger. So we wanted to give tribute to them, but we wanted him to have his own name. So we chose Rory. Then, you know, of course, you want to make sure that you don't give your kids a name that means something awful. So looked up Rory, come to find out that Rory is actually a nickname, or as they described it in the book, a diminutive of Roderick, which is my actual first name. So it's like his name pays tribute to me and my father, my brother, and my grandfather. And I have another brother who also has the middle name Clifton. So his name gives honor to a whole lot of younger men. So those are my two kids. You know, obviously very different having a boy and a girl. My son, Rory, is on the spectrum with ADHD and autism, which also gives a very interesting perspective of having a child on the spectrum and another child who isn't. And it just makes you have an appreciation for each of them. It's almost like it makes me love each of them more than I probably would if I didn't have the perspective of seeing them together to see how great they are together, because they really are. Like, he's such a great big brother. Like, you know, when you have kids, it's easy for people from the outside to say, look at those cute little kids. I bet they're never a problem. Oh, how could you ever get mad at those kids? And it's like, kids will drive you crazy. You know, that's one of the things about the pandemic is like, I went from 8 shows a week, 6 days a week, struggling to see my kids, wanting to see them more, to seeing them all the time.
Right.
It's like, I'm currently separated from my wife, on my way to divorce, just haven't gotten there yet. Divorce costs money. And then when you ain't got no money coming in, how you gonna get divorced? So anyway.
Oh, God.
Oh my God. But this is the dynamic of our day during the pandemic. It was like, since their mother works 9 to 5 from home, I would go over there on days that they stayed there and pick them up in the morning. We would get out and come back over to my place, which is like about a 5 to 10 minute walk. Come back over to my place, and we would be together from 9 to 5 at least every day. So basically trying to do whatever type of remote schooling, as well as trying to do stuff, have a day that isn't right. Just us sitting in here on top of each other watching TV. And so that was like the pandemic for a long time. So,
right.
We'll be right back right after the break.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
So Lolo, she's 3 now,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And she's got this beautiful head of curls.
Yeah.
So how is it going taking care of your daughter's hair, especially since you're separated from her mom?
Right.
Like, you, when she's with you, you are taking care of her. You're doing her hair. Like, how is that?
Well, the you know, my kids are biracial. And so the thing about it is, it's not just the whole idea of a father taking care of his daughter's hair. It's the kind of hair and also the two differing attitudes towards that hair. Like, their mother has curly hair, but, you know, it's not biracial curly hair.
Is white?
Yeah.
Is white hair, right?
White girl curly hair. And so,
white girl curly
so it's
hair.
Like that whole thing of like saying, hey, I know they are a mixture of the two of us, but their hair is probably closer to mine than it is to yours. But also, but I have curly hair too. It's like, but it's not, you know, like you can't put
it's
the
different.
Same stuff on your hair that she puts on her hair. And
she's not going to put on edge control.
Right? And it's like, so like we've had the hair issue from when Rory was a baby. Cause you know, that whole,
really?
Yeah, the whole,
with your son.
Cause in the black community, there's this thing of going to the son's first haircut. And, you know, I do regret giving him his first haircut so early. I wish I would have just let it grow like I'm doing with Lolo's hair. But, you know, it's just, it's a different thing as far as what products to use on the hair. But I will say, Vanessa is very good at, she's very good at doing Lolo's hair. Really right now, it's just making sure that she loves her hair as it is, which I think she does. The only thing is right now, she always is asking me to give her 2 scrunchies. And sometimes I'm like, Lolo, your hair is so beautiful. You just let it out. And you're like, no, 2 scrunchies. Because Lolo is very, very strong-willed.
So she has, like, her favorite hairdos that she
loves.
She
loves 2 scrunchies. She sometimes she'll be down with the big, you know. So she appreciates her curls. It's just that sometimes she wants it up instead of just out. And but just yesterday, I said something to her that I hadn't even thought about. Well, I had never said to her, even though I think about it, because I know that there's the Crown Act, is, you know, the whole idea of teaching Black women to embrace their hair as it is. And that's very important to me that, you know.
It's an actual act, the Crown Act. Why don't I know about this?
I think you know about Crown Day or something, because I feel like we had some type of exchange about it. But I think there's actually a thing called the Crown Act, where they're basically, the Crown Act is trying to make sure that places of employment don't discriminate against you for wearing your hair naturally. We'll have to look that up.
This is bomb. You know, you're gonna send me some homework.
I'll send you some homework. Somebody don't like homework. I ain't gonna say no names, but it rhymes with Belicia.
Oh my gosh. You always sending me all these links and stuff of all these videos I gotta watch.
There's a problem with information.
It gotta be easy for me to access, and it has to be fast.
It's all easy if you have the proper attitude. But anyway, so.
You're sending me homework.
So, as I was saying about Lolo and her hair, just yesterday, I actually said to her, I said, that you're a queen and your hair is your crown. And that really resonated with her because, you know, being a princess and being a queen, that's important to a little girl, you know?
Right. Yes, it is.
Like, she smiled and she did something. Oh, she was like,
a little,
like, kind of like, you know, adjusted her crown and everything. So, yeah, it's like when she's with me, I like to make sure every night I when I give her a bath, I let her hair out, you know, try to get out all the tangles and everything. And, you know, some of the stuff I learned from watching you. And
from me?
Yeah, because one of your blog posts where you talked about hair care, you talked about massaging the scalp and all this other stuff to help with growth and everything. I'm just trying to make sure that I just want her hair to just grow and grow before before anything is done with it. So I'm not trying not to worry about if it's not growing evenly or whatever. I'm like, she's three.
It's okay. She's three. Right. Do you have any like inspirations? So my generation, when I was little, all my friends, like when we've been talking about this in past episodes, we didn't really have a lot of curly hair people like to look at on screen, or even these children's books. Like, are you seeing more curly hair inspirations for you to look at, to show Lolo?
Well, one of the things I like to give a shout out to her white side of the family, because they have been very active in making sure that she loves and appreciates herself for who she is. Part of it I don't worry about because of her personality. She seems to really be happy with herself. But
that's awesome.
You know, like her white grandmother and her white aunt sending her dolls with natural hair. This doll right here was purchased by her white family members. See the little bush balls?
Which, yes, I've never had a Barbie like
and
that.
And it's like, this is the style that Lolo loves the most. So between stuff like that, I know there was a bit of a controversy with the show Central Park, because one of the biracial kids was voiced by a white actor, same actress who voices Anna in Frozen. We all know her. She's in everything.
Oh, yeah. Kirsten Dunst? No. Not Kirsten Dunst. I know who you're talking about.
Well, anyway. But her character's name is Molly, and Molly she draws comics. And one of her characters is her, and the character's name is Fistapuffs. So she has her little Afro puffs turns into like big giant fists, and she fights evil with her Afro.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
So Lolo has these dolls. She has Fistapuffs. She has Doc McStuffins. You know, it's like.
What about Hair Love? You showed me Hair Love. You're the first person who shared
Hair Love. You know, we've got that.
That short film.
Mark Cherry is the guy. Was it Mark Cherry?
And they won an award, didn't they?
Academy Award.
Oh my God.
So she has those things. I'm always on the lookout to make sure that she's seeing stuff that with black folks in it. And here's the thing, and we've had this conversation ever since the whole, ever since George Floyd and how that has affected the world. There have been all kinds of talks about race, and the cast of Mean Girls, we've actually had talks amongst ourselves, and we've had book clubs and various things where we engage our fan base about race and everything. And in one of the conversations we had as a cast and company, I said to them, I said, as a black parent, you don't realize, it's like, well, you come to realize the lack of representation, the lack of ability for your kids to see heroes and characters that look like them. And I said, you have like a PJ Masks where nobody is black. You have, then you have other things like Bubble Guppies, where these are like little mermaids and mermen, and there's only one black character. It's like, and then in these shows, you'll have the black characters, but they're like sidekicks. You know, it's like, well, they'll be the only one, and you never see their family. It's like, it's like their world totally revolves around being connected to the white person who's the so-called lead or leader. I remember when I was little, you had the Super Friends, and all of the black superheroes were like periodically would come on. You don't know what week they're coming. It'd be like 8 weeks without a black person, then all of a sudden Black Lightning shows up. And all of them had black in their name. Black Lightning, Black Mystique. I mean, I'm making up names now. Black.
Oh my God.
Turkey. I know he's black. You don't have to have black in his name. All the black superheroes have black in their name. Like they're trying to make up for the fact they had no black. So they're like, look at me, sir. Black in his name. It's almost like it's too black. And so,
oh my gosh, literally a comedian, a stand-up comedian, folks.
But that's the experience as a black parent, in addition to, I mean, obviously the hair is an issue, but just the existence, the life, just wanting them to feel, it's like the message you send to kids when none of the leaders, none of the people that are the main characters look like you. You know, I think about you. Amazingly talented. You've made it to Broadway in your 20s. That's a major deal. But then I think about the fact that if you want to have a role as a principal, how few opportunities there are. Whereas white actors your age have the whole history of Broadway to choose from as far as characters, as well as all of the new characters that will be created to look like them. I think about myself. I'm Mr. Duval. I'm an original Broadway cast of a hit Broadway musical nominated for 12 Academy Awards. And my character is the only principal without a song. I had to sing to get the part. Feel free to Google me. Go to youtube.com/Rick Younger and you will see me singing. I sing all the time, have made a living as a singer. When my friends found out I was on Broadway, they were like, oh, this is perfect for you. You get to sing and be funny and act. I was like, yeah. And I'm like, well, I hope they don't get mad when they come to the show. And I'm not singing. But, I am there. Right. I'm funny. My character is very pivotal.
Yes, you are very funny.
But it's like, I gotta be in another Broadway show just so I can sing,
So you can sing, honestly. You are so talented and that's what we, Ricky. I do want to know though, do you have any sisters? Do you have any
No sisters. It's like, all brothers. It's
all. So your mom, she's like, I got boys.
She got it. Well, my mother and father together had two, and my father had a couple before he married my mother. And even my father is even the father to the older brothers of my oldest brother, who aren't his biological sons, but all boys. Then my brother, his first kid was a boy.
Just boys.
It's like there's only two girls. It's Sydney and Lola.
So I commend you for like having so many men in your family and to like take off. I mean, not that you really had a choice in the matter. Like, here is a daughter. Figure it out. Do as much or as little as you want. Like, I really commend you, Ricky, for diving in and just.
Well, you know, with my family, fatherhood is like the thing. It's like all of like my father, his brothers, my mother's brothers, you know, even, you know, my uncles who married my aunts. All of the fathers pretty much have always been there. It's like most of the marriages have lasted for years. Even the marriages that didn't last, the fathers have always been very active, which also is a very interesting statistic that people never talk about this, but studies have shown that Black fathers are the most active in the lives of their children. What people try to get you on is fathers being married to the mothers. Sometimes divorce happens. Sometimes a child comes and the couple never gets married. But fatherhood, Black fathers are the most active fathers of all.
Right. And I feel like, you know, everyone has a different story, but I will say that my dad is always so active.
Anybody that knows Salisha knows that her father's active. She loves her father. She's like, I love my dad.
I love my daddy. You know what? He did not know how to do my hair. I loved when he did one, he would pull it all the way back and do one big twist, and it looked horrible, and it was my favorite hairstyle.
But, you know, with one Lola would wake up in the morning, it's like, I want to, I mean, like, I'm like, we haven't even had breakfast yet. You know, because when I do it, it's like, I don't half-ass with doing her hair. I'm like, okay, get me a chair. Get the coconut oil. Get a brush. Get a pick. Right. It's
come
like,
on.
You know,
come
and
on.
So I'm like, I'm moisturizing her hair. I'm going through, making sure the tangles are out, and I'm brushing it. And, you know, I'm making sure.
I've heard her say, my hair, don't mess up my hair.
she is not playing.
We'll be right back right after the break.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
If you follow me, you'll see that I'm very active with my kids. My kids both have hashtags on social media. My son is the youngest younger because he was the youngest younger for a long time. He was the youngest younger for 8 years. So when Lolo came along, it was like, I made a post about it. I said, look, Rory has been the youngest younger his whole life. So even though a younger has come along, he's maintaining his hashtag, the youngest younger. And Lolo's hashtag is little lady younger. And it's like,
That's so
cool. It's like, you know, you see the posts. Sometimes it's posts of me and her. Sometimes it's posts of me and him. Sometimes it's the three of us. Sometimes it's the two of them. And
you are so proud of them.
They're fun kids. You know, it's like they're like I said, they're great with each other. Like just yesterday, Lolo was filled with attitude yesterday. I don't know if it was the traveling back from Baltimore or whatever. So we were walking and Lolo was dragging and doesn't want to keep up and everything. And I was like, Lolo, come on. I can't carry you because I have bags. And she's like pouting in the middle of the street. Rory just walks back, grabs her by the hand, and just walks her on home. And it's like the moment he does it, she goes right along. It's like she's fighting me, but it's like, okay, Rory. Or okay, Wooly.
It's so freaking sweet. Okay, so I want to pivot and I want to ask you about you, like, how and I'm sure every guy is different, but like, do men have a natural hair journey? Do you have a natural hair journey?
Well, one of the things about being a man, it's like you never have to question your beauty based on your natural hair. Now, as a matter of fact, if you're a man and you do like a perm or in the waves. You're like, are you pimping? I mean, what is going on, man? You know, hey, it's right. Like you actually are looked at like, what's up, man? It's like, I don't trust that guy. He got finger waves. He's going to smack me. He's going to pimp slap me if I get going on his wrong side. So the whole idea of natural hair is not really a big issue with Black men. But one of the issues with is how our hair dictates who we are in the eyes of the mainstream. So like, I remember for years making sure my hair was neat, making sure my fade was tight, shape up was in there. You know, I still to this day, even though now I let my hair out, I don't know if you can make out, it's coiled. I had my little little coiler and my sponge and all that other stuff. And it's a real natural style. I know my mother looks at it like, you need to comb that and put a part in it. You know, like.
You need to learn your letters.
My mother. Just quietly like, you gonna keep your hair like that?
But you're very groomed, yeah, though. It's very much on purpose.
She's from the old school, a little boy has to have a part. You know, it's like every time you could tell when Rory spent some time with grandma, it's like, what? His hair has been combed. He has a part. It's like
a part in his
mohawk. What's a big for my mother's generation? So, you know, going from, it's very interesting. It's kind of like also creatively, my hair, changing of my hair kind of goes along with changes in me creatively as an artist. When I first started doing comedy, I didn't curse in my act. One of the main reasons is when I first started doing comedy, I was also singing in the Maryland Gospel Choir, and I was still in college, and I was like, well, I can't be performing comedy in the same area I'm singing Jesus Is Real on Sunday, and then, how y'all, blah, blah, blah. You know, I can't be like busting out like right. that. So I was like, okay, I won't curse in my act. And so for years, I didn't. And it was like, as I evolved as a comedian and as I interacted with comedians, I have and two comedian friends that stand out as a part of my evolution, Todd Lynn, who's passed away, the late Todd Lynn, and Tracy Morgan. And both of them who I'm friends with, so like when I'm hanging with them, talking freely, saying whatever I feel like saying, sometimes some curse words may come out, sometimes some other racy language might come out, but it was just I'm being myself, and they're cracking up and they're like, man, dude, it's like, why are you not doing that on stage? And I realized that the reason I started with not cursing was, you know, a reflection of my parents and what I was doing as a gospel singer. And I'm like, I you know, my parents know that I curse. They know I'm not gratuitous with it, but they've actually heard me curse here and there. And so it was like, oh, so I'm up here not cursing because I'm worried about what people will think and maybe they're going to go tell my mama. And so I called my mother. My father had already passed away by this time. And I said, hey, Mom, I'm really thinking about expanding and really getting into what makes me funny. And so I'm just going to go on stage and I'm going to talk freely. Some curse words may come out. And I just wanted to know, if I curse on stage, would you have a problem with that? She's like, I don't have a problem with that. As long as it's not gratuitous. I was like, well, it's not going to be gratuitous. And she's like, all right, do what you got to do. You know, and so that set me free. I'm like, my mother is all right with what I do. I'm all right with what I do. And I'm also like, you know what? God made me this way. And I'm like,
so wait, that affected your hair journey?
Well, I'm going to make the connection in a second. So it seemed like once I was more free, not caring about what people thought about me when I was on stage, because the other thing that was a part of it is the white gaze. Like, okay, I'm the Black comedian that's clean cut, that doesn't curse. I'm not like the rest of them. You know, I think we all suffer from the effects of white supremacy in one way or the other. And mine was, even though I didn't down, you know, like blatantly and openly downgrade other Black people, a part of me had this feeling of being special and not like the rest because I was a black comedian that didn't curse. And I was like, no, it's like, right. That doesn't make me better than anybody else. And like, why do I care what they think? And so the more I got into not caring what they thought, I also was like, I don't care what they think about what my hair looks like. And I let my hair grow. And I like, I don't care if, you know, it's not, you know, what they expect, or, oh, it's, you know, it's coiled up, or it's nappy, or it's rough. Right. And it's like, that's all been a part of that.
I know that, like, you used to get pre-pandemic, your hair, like, you would go to the barber on a schedule, a strict
therapy,
schedule.
Therapy.
And so going from, right, like, right every after therapy, was that every 2 weeks? So going from that to, like, now you're in a pandemic, and it's different now. Things are starting to open up, but going from, like, everything is shut down, was that, like, how was that transition for you? Just, like, how did you feel about, any, like, your hair just growing out?
It was like, I was like, let me see what can happen with my facial hair. I just can't grow a beard. And so
that didn't work out.
But it's like, also, like I said, you probably heard me say this at some point. I'm like, this pandemic is going to separate the wheat from the chaff. We're going to find out who's really handsome. Because some of us have been depending on a good haircut to look good for the ladies. So I'm like, kind of was like, guess I'm gonna find out if I'm handsome or not. So I feel all right. I feel like I'm.
You are.
I'm
handsome,
that to get you to say that, but thank you. No, but like.
Oh my gosh.
But no, it's like it was like that whole, let's see what new things we can learn about. The way I get a cut since the pandemic has changed, because I used to get a higher fade. Now I'm like, I'm liking it getting longer, and you know, I want to see how long I can get the part that I don't. And now I'm just kind of fading the temples. So
I like that. I feel like this has given us all, and I don't mean to speak for everybody, but like ever since, you know, this summer, it's given us more freedom to really just lean into who are we really? Like, what do I really want
to
look like?
Take chances. And, you know, it's kind of like, what am I going to do? I can't get to the barbershop. One thing I don't know if the pandemic has given me more grays in my beard, but it's like, at this point, I'm kind of like, This is, I can't even like decide that I'm going to try to look like I don't have grays. Yeah.
I think salt and pepper is very
well, I'm a silver fox. I'm going for silver fox status.
Come on, silver fox.
Come through. I know that in my cast, they were kind of all surprised at how old I am. And you know, it's like, I come from good black don't crack stock. My mother's about to be 80. You never know by looking at her.
Wait, your mom?
Yeah.
I've met her.
Yeah.
She's almost 80.
See,
oh, I
my uncle, my uncle Tony, I think that you may have you've seen Uncle Tony before.
Yes.
Not in person, but you've seen him. He's gonna be 71 like next month. It's like, he's the one that pushes me. Like, I hung out with him in Baltimore a few days ago. He said, I've done push-ups. He's like, I haven't, you know, been getting out riding my bike, because he rides his bike. He comes up to New York for the five borough bike tour. And so he's like, I haven't been riding my bike. He says, but I have done my push-ups every day since December 28th, 2019. And I was like, you know.
Wow.
So now he's challenged me. The very next day, he sent me a meme and a text message like about getting started with my push-ups. And so every day I've done my push-ups, I've added my plank to it. And because I'm trying not to have the man boobs, saggy man boobs.
I mean, we're in a pandemic.
See, if you let yourself get away with saggy man boobs because of the pandemic, which looks to not be letting up, because we don't have the leadership that's going to take control of it. Go vote, everybody. vote in an right. answer to the pandemic. At first I was like, you know, it's a pandemic. But then after a while, you're like, I got to do something, because I thought that we'd be, you know, when we first stopped the show, they're like, oh yeah, we'll be back in a month. You know.
Right. We had no idea that it was.
So even when they went past a month, you were like, okay, we'll be back by the fall. You know, now we're looking at 2021, and not even the beginning of 2021 necessarily. I've heard spring of 2021.
We're gonna cut for a short ad break.
So wait, my question, like, have you been able to do any comedy or anything that sparks your spirit during?
Yeah, I've done two Zoom shows. I don't like Zoom shows. I mean, it's like, I do live streaming. I have my low budget morning show.
Right. Your breakfast
show.
So
like when, I don't do it every
day. I'll put a link down so you can watch it.
I don't do it every day, but I do it when I have the freedom, because I like doing it when I'm home alone. So like when I have the kids, early in the pandemic, I did it with the kids here, but as the pandemic stretched on, it's like, okay, I like it better when I can do it by myself. I'll probably do one tomorrow because I won't have kids tomorrow morning.
Yeah. They're really fun. Your breakfast shows are,
That's how we spell it. B-R-E-F-F-U-S. There's a hashtag.
I also saw your mug when you took a sip. Is that your Rick Younger show mug?
So the Rick Younger show actually is a live show that I created, early 2000s, I asked myself, if I had my own TV show, what would it be? And I was like, and why am I not doing it? So, and I was like, I don't own a network, but I can do a live show. So I came up with a show, the Rick Younger Show, where it's kind of like I'm a late night talk show host who's so into himself that he does everything. So like, I have a band. But I sing with the band. I don't really have a musical guest. I have guests that I interview. So sometimes my friends will come on and do celebrity impersonations. Sometimes they'll do original characters. I have the Ricky wheel. It's a wheel that we spin. It has four pictures of me on it. We spin it, and whatever it lands on, we have to do. Rick has to improv a song. Rick has to improv a rap. Ask Rick where you ask me any question about anything, and I have to answer it because I'm a wealth of knowledge. I know a little bit about everything. Not a lot but a little bit about everything.
Can I improvise a rap for
please
you?
Please do.
In honor of you, it's going to be the Rick Younger rap. You ready? Hamilton, watch out. Hey, Rick, what's up? You are so cool, a little cool. Something, something, something. I like your mug. I think that you are a really cool pug.
You didn't really think too far ahead about this. I
got nervous.
You're like, Hamilton, watch out. Hey, Hamilton, never mind that.
Never mind.
I've heard you rap before. She's a way stronger rapper than this, Hamilton. Listen up. Go again.
Go again. You are so cool. I like the way you drool. Thank you for the crab cake, and you make me shake.
See, that's gonna raise a lot of questions. The drool line.
Oh my gosh. Ricky, thank you for. Ricky, thank you for coming on. I really appreciate you like sharing your stories of like your own personal hair growth and journey, and like with your daughter, your little 3-year-old daughter, and even with Rory as well. Like, you are such a joy, and just, you're so much fun. Y'all, I'll make sure to share all of his social media handles so that you can check out all of the things.
Yes, I'm at Rick Younger. Videos out there. You can find me at Rick Younger on Twitter, Instagram, Periscope, Snapchat, YouTube.com/Rick Younger, YouTube.com/The Rick Younger Show, Facebook.com/Rick Younger Page, CafePress.com/Rick Younger Show for wonderful Rick Younger Show memorabilia. Or Google me. I'm the first 6 to 12 pages of Rick Younger on Google.
Amen. All right. Thank you so much. Love ya. I mean, you know what I mean. I mean, wait. No. Thank you so much for joining us, Ricky. Y'all, give Ricky some love. Please follow him on Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat, and Periscope at Rick Younger, YouTube.com/Rick Younger, Facebook.com/Rick Younger page. He is such a hoot and also speaks a whole lot of truth. And also, like, this pandemic has been so crazy. And since this episode was recorded, Mean Girls had just reported that they were closing. And so we had recorded this way before that announcement. So, dear God, just say a prayer to the whole Broadway industry, because who knows what it's going to be when we finally get back. But we are keeping the hope and keeping the faith alive. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Shout out to the Broadway Podcast Network. Shout out to Wilton Music for producing my theme song, Love COD, sung by yours truly. You guys, thank you for listening and supporting this podcast. If you haven't already, rate it, review it, share it, follow us on Patreon if you want to get access to the episodes early or even get some merch. And also shout out to London Baskerville for editing this episode. Thank you so much, London. And thank you all for listening and supporting Black Hair in the Big Leagues. I'm your host, Salisha Thomas. See you next week, fam.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org. Because only together we rise.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.